Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Hey, thank you for sharing about these times, okay? Keep on doing that. I just sort of checked our stats right before we got together here, and we've had a pretty significant bump here the last two or three episodes, like, I don't know what, 10 or 15% increase in participation, whatever that is. These things, you can't sometimes tell whether they're download or if somebody's streaming it or how they're feeding it or what it is. But it's a pretty significant increase, and so I thank you so much for that. So continue spreading the word, if you don't mind. That's the way that people find out about these times, and that we can gather together, because that's what we're actually doing, is that there's several hundred of us who are gathering around the Word of God, reflecting upon the Word of God, praying the Word of God, all together around one particular subject matter, and all of us do that in various ways, from week to week, day to day. You know, we have worship services, have Sunday school classes, Bible studies, small group times, times that you have just in discussing with somebody over something that the Lord's revealed to you. It's just amazing how we can, as the body of Christ, communicate with one another over His Word. I just had a time with a young man a while ago for about an hour and a half, and he's having to do things for academic purposes. But let me tell you, man, that was an hour and a half of church. As they would say in the Deep South, of just discussing the wonder and the glory of the Most High God and His Word and what God's revealing to us, and then what he and I both are turning around and sharing with various other groups that we're involved with, particularly from a leadership perspective. So anyway, I thank you for that. So keep spreading the word. We're in 1 John, the second chapter, and I'm going to jump in today. You know, a lot of times I like to go back and try to set the context, but this passage gets sort of long. So if you haven't been with us, go back the last two or three episodes and you'll be able to get caught up. So 1 John, the second chapter, verse 23, says this: "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also." And so what he's communicating, what Spirit's communicating through John in a very patriarchal type of writing, a fatherly kind of writing, is that if you come along and say that you're denying the Son and that Jesus Christ is not the Son, He's not the way, not the truth, not the life, then you don't have the Father. You don't have the Father. A lot of times people are saying, oh, I believe in God, but I just don't believe in Jesus. Then you do not believe in the Most High God. Oh, yeah, you've got a God. There's a God you believe in, but it's not the Most High God, Yahweh. But then he says, the one who confesses the Son, that you have the Father. You cannot confess and say and truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son, and not have the Father. You see that really explained in John 17 in what we call Jesus' high priestly prayer, his prayer that he was praying to the Father right before he dies, right before Jesus dies. And he says several times various little lines about that he and the Father being one together again and them being one in us. Okay, some phenomenal insight to that. Now, John continues in verse 24, "As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." Well, that begs the question, what? Yeah, what was that was abiding within from the beginning? Well, from the beginning, that would be the gospel message. Okay, so he's saying what you believed, what you heard about the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, about the coming of the kingdom of God, about repentance and about confession, about being transformed by, about believing, okay, and believing and continuing in that belief. All that, let that abide in you. Now, John is the great writer about abiding. You go to the gospel in John 15, and John 15 is all about that, about abiding in the Lord. It's the picture of the vine, the branch in the vine, that thing. So what he's saying is here, if you will let that truth abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, if you will walk in that gospel truth, what you've heard, and if that abides in you, then you're in the Son and you're in the Father. You will also abide in the Son and in the Father. The next verse tells us something interesting about that. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. Again, this is the promise which he himself made to us, and it has a colon, eternal life. So he's saying this is what was promised to you at the beginning of the great news of the kingdom of God, what has come. So let me back up and read these three verses right here and watch how they flow. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. So he's reiterating to them, he said, remember what you received. Remember what you heard at the beginning. Well, why is that? Verse 26, these things I've written to you. He says that again. He repeats that over and over, right? These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Whoa. Well, now we get down to what's been going on with the whole letter so far in chapter 1 and up to this point in time in chapter 2. There were people who were trying to deceive them. Right before we gathered together around this time right here, I was writing a blog, and I've been chasing around this idea of just the love of God. And these things always have a way of sort of growing. And I've wound up Deuteronomy a lot because of just the phrase, the love of God, and what it says about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And the passage I was looking at today, I think it's in the 13th chapter, was talking about what you do if someone is a prophet or if someone's a dreamer of dreams and they come along and they tell you about a word, a prophetic word, or a dream they had, and then they show a sign and a wonder. In other words, there's something miraculous that apparently proves this. But what their word is this, is not to follow the Lord God, but to follow the other gods. To follow the other gods. God said, when you hear that, you will know that they are not real. So he's telling us that people will come to deceive. They did so in the Old Testament. They do in the New Testament. They did under the Old Covenant. They will under the New Covenant. And they will come and try to deceive us. And it's always the same kind of thing. They're going to try to direct us away from the Most High God to other gods. Okay? You see it within the professing body of Christ like you would not believe. You wouldn't think that that would be in, quote, the church, unquote, right? But folks, it is rampant, particularly among leadership, those who speak forth, because they lead away from the Word of God either by commission or omission. Most of the time, it's just that they omit the Word of God. They don't give heed to the Word of God. They don't teach the Word of God. They don't preach the gospel. They don't preach the Word of God. They preach denominationalism. They preach feel-goodism. They preach subject matters of the day and all this kind of stuff, okay? They don't preach the Word of God. And by not doing that, they deceive. Then there's others that just forthrightly deceive. They'll say, oh, well, yes, the Bible said that, but that was for back then. And that God doesn't feel that way now. And that's not the truth for today, because we are far more enlightened society. And no loving God would ever believe that now. You'll hear that kind of foolishness and nonsense. But that's what John is saying. He said, I am writing these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. He's already told the believers, hey, you have an anointing of God. You know what this is about. Here's what you need to do. You need to abide in what you believed in the beginning. And if you abide in that, then the Son and the Father will continue abiding in you. And that eternal life is going to manifest itself, not only in the day yet to come, but it will do so today in the present time. Well, I'm out of time, so I better stop here. Thank you so much again, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.